Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, here we go, it's the Cop Hype Podcast.
What is happening, everyone? Welcome back to another Cop Hype Podcast. I'm Mick Moran and I'm joined once again by Kiefer McDonald. How are we doing, Kiefer? Nice to have you back.
Good, mate, I'm good. Excited about tomorrow. Looking forward to getting into it. But yeah, ultimately a bit of underlying nerves, but nothing from far from the usual.
Yeah, not an unusual about going to Goodison, even if they were the best team in the world and they were in League Two, we'd still be shitting ourselves a little bit, wouldn't we? But yeah, nice to have you on, lad. And thanks to Farrell for coming on, Farrell Keelan from Empire of the Cop. Nice one for jumping on and making your Cop Hype podcast debut. It's been a long time coming, hasn't it?
No, it's an absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me on. I think similar position to Keith, I'm sort of excited, but there's that sort of hints of nerves of, oh, it's still, you know, the Merseyside derby, Goodison Park. I mean, you know, they tend to raise the game, but you just have to think the form we're both on. I'm holding on to the form. I will be holding on to the form until the day, and then on the day I'll be especially nervous.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get on to that, but we'll have to start with, obviously, the Southampton game, because we haven't touched on that yet. But obviously, boss 4-0 win. And that's 2 4-0s in a row in the Premier League after we've just been talking about, before we started recording, about absolutely battering Arsenal 4-0 as well, which is just an absolute joy to see. But I just want to drill into the Southampton game a little bit more. And what did you make of it overall, Kiefer, 4-0? It was two goals for Jota, one goal for Thiago and one goal for Virgil van Dijk. It was boss, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought it was really good. And especially kind of given the bigger picture of, you know, what we're about to enter with these kind of December fixtures. And even the week last week with obviously the three home games, and obviously, like you say, coming off the back of Arsenal, then, you know, into like a semi-dead rubber with the Porto game. But obviously we handled that kind of as good as you can, you know, gave minutes to those who needed. And then Southampton again, you know, probably a side again not in the best of form, but you know, it's especially as we've seen at times this season, points can be dropped kind of when you least expect it. And like I said, obviously playing those two games earlier in the week, you kind of was hoping there would be no hangover. But I mean, it was probably as good as a 4-0 home win gets. You know, yeah, you've got Thiago finding his feet even more, like with another fantastic performance. And you know, you get minutes into Konate again. Henderson gets minutes. Yeah, as you say, Jota kind of, you know, continues his excellent form of late. Obviously, Salah doesn't get on the score sheet, but, you know, he just shows again how kind of just how busy he is, and, you know, how kind of even without scoring, you know, he gets the assist, doesn't he? And same for Mane. Robertson, again, I thought he was fantastic after, you know, a slight dip early in the season. And it's nice to have that competition, isn't it, at fullback? You know, we've been so reliant on him for a couple of years now. So I thought just Saturday as a whole was really good. I thought we looked really professional. And, you know, even the last half an hour was, you know, I think both teams would have been happy to shake hands there and then and call it a day. But, I mean, that's just as important. You know, I think everyone would have liked to see five, six and seven. But, you know, you've got to look at the next kind of 5 weeks and how many games of football, you know, this squad's going to be playing. So, you know, just to kind of, as I say, get minutes to those. Even Milner came back on, he had a brief cameo, didn't he? So, yeah, like I say, it was, you know, as routine as it comes, but also you know, there was plenty of positive signs and impressive signs going into, as you say, a big game tomorrow night.
Yeah, well, I think you've actually just encapsulated the Southampton review there perfectly. Might as well go on to Everton now. No, there was loads of positives, wasn't there? Farrell, like Jota getting two, and Hendo, like Kiefer said, Henderson coming back in, and Konate getting minutes. There was so many, but like Jota, I was looking at the stats there, like he scored 21 goals in 46 appearances now, and he's got 7 goals already in the league, which is only 2 off what he got whole of last year. I think he only made 19 appearances last year, but to be 2 off that already just shows how much of a goal threat he is, isn't it?
Not half bad signing when you actually sort of think about it. I mean, I remember sort of back in the day when there were just discussions about the possibility of signing him, and everyone sort of went, oh, he's this lad from Wolves. You know, how is he Liverpool quality? And, you know, he's obviously proved all the naysayers wrong. I mean, it's testament certainly to the form. Like, you know, if you have to sort of think, if Salah wasn't around putting the sort of numbers that he is putting in, would we be looking at Jota in an even more positive light? Because, you know, I mean, we're familiar with this by now, but Salah's numbers are absolutely out of this world. It's it's absolutely remarkable that he hasn't come away from the Ballon d'Or ceremony at least being placed in the top three. I appreciate that, you know, we have to sort of consider, you know, the year. It's not just the season, but yeah, we'll talk about that another time, I'm sure. But I mean, yeah, I'd absolutely fundamentally agree with the point Andy Robertson. It looks like the rest Klopp gave him sort of really has revitalized him, because if you sort of think, you know, he's not had a rest, and it all goes back to that sort of prior season where Klopp couldn't really rotate his fullbacks because of all the trouble we were having at, you know, the centre half with Van Dijk out, you know, every centre half under the sun bar Nat Phillips out. So he was absolutely desperate for a break, and it's so clear that having come on against Southampton, you know, and he's given that sort of energetic performance, you know, we could see a revitalized sort of Robertson hopefully for the rest of the season. That's a massive, massive asset and can't be understated.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's funny because when footy's mad, isn't it? Because when you think like back, I don't know how long, maybe 6 months or whatever, and Tsimikas was kind of like, is he going to be good enough? And obviously Robertson was like the main fella. And then Tsimikas then gets a little bit of run on the team because of Robbo's injury, comes in and does boss against Burnley and other teams. And you're like, fucking hell, he's actually like, he's starting to acclimatise in a way that he's obviously been recruited for. And that's been boss to see, Anna Kiefer, to see Tsimikas do that well, but and also see Robbo then have to kind of raise his game as well. Because obviously when Robertson sets standards that as high as he does, any dip is noticeable. I think that's the same for any world-class player. If there's a dip, it's noticeable, even more than maybe a mid-range player. So it's best to see Robbo back to his best again against Southampton.
Yeah, and I think Farrell touched on it there. He said, you know, last season, I think obviously both the fullbacks kind of suffered, you know, probably due to no fault of their own, but kind of the added kind of defensive responsibility that they kind of had to, you know, uptake in the absence of, you know, every centre-half who got injured who seems to, you know, play for us. But I think Robertson will know more than anyone, won't see the competition, because obviously the year he signed, obviously obviously Moreno kind of had a bit of a revival, didn't he, until the December, I don't know if you remember. And he looked really good. And I think it was an injury against Spartak Moscow that kind of took Moreno kind of out of the firing line and kind of gave Robertson a chance in the, you know, to kind of get himself involved in kind of Klopp's plans. And he hasn't looked back since. And, you know, we've seen it with so many times. I think even Chamberlain kind of started to profit once Coutinho left. So, you know, I think he'll know more than himself that he's needed a rest. But I don't think he's the kind of character, or certainly what you gauge from him and the way he speaks. He's not going to be the kind of guy who's going to go to Klopp and say, look, I need to take this week off. You know what I mean? Kind of thing. Or, you know, I could do with a rest here and there. He's going to want to play every game. And, you know, that's a credit to him. But, you know, I think, as Farrell said, that break, it kind of looks like he's kind of revitalized, and he's kind of got that, you know, I think in maybe the first couple of weeks of the season, he just looks very heavy footed, didn't he? Kind of second to everything, and, yeah, you know, crosses weren't beating the first man, and it was, you know, obviously one of the fullbacks are kind of so essential to kind of what we do and what we do so well. it's more noticeable, isn't it, than maybe a fullback playing for, you know, someone else kind of thing. So, like I say, a revitalised Robertson's only going to benefit Liverpool, and especially when you've got someone like Kostas who's come in and he's, you know, he's not put a foot wrong yet. I don't think we've conceded, have we, whilst he's played? I think there was a stat that was seven games, seven clean sheets, which is, you know, no easy feat. So, you know, fair play to them, and, you know, it's a battle that I think everyone will kind of relish, you know, over the course of the season.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've spent most of my life having no good left backs, so to have two at the same time, fucking hell, just thank your lucky stars. But like you said there, Kiefer, as well, you said earlier, like, about Salah, like, not getting on a score sheet, but obviously got an assist, and there was obviously another stat that came out of that he hit 150 goals and assists, and only Alan Shearer and Thierry Henry have hit that number at a quicker rate, which is, I mean, it's fucking, you can just line up the Mo Salah stats, and they're just incredible, aren't they? They really are. But another one from that game, obviously, another 4-0, was we've now scored 39 goals in 13 games, which is a new record for us in the top flight, which is an average of 3 goals a game, which is amazing, really, isn't it, Farrell, considering that's just craziness, an average of 3 per game in 13 games so far.
No, absolutely. I mean, tremendous. I think the one that as well stuck out for me, I think we equaled Sunderland's record from 1927. I think it's 17 consecutive games scoring 2 or more goals, which is phenomenal. When you know, just for any team. I mean, we've seen this before. You know, as Liverpool fans, you know, you can score all the goals in the world and still not win the league title. Just ask Brendan Rodgers about that. But even if you look at sort of our defensive concerns, I mean, we've played the last 3 games. Yeah, we've had a few shaky moments. You know, Alisson's did bail us out, you know, at the start of that Southampton game. Kanate was, you know, a little bit flaky against AC Milan. But, you know, we've come out of those games with 10 goals scored, none conceded. You know, I'm sure several will argue that, you know, you've not come up against top 4 opposition there, but I think, you know, when you're looking at sort of the packed fixture schedule and, you know, coming off that international break, you know, the mood's a bit sour after West Ham. I think it's absolutely sort of phenomenal, and you're sort of heading now in the right direction. You've got your midfielders coming back from injury, which is, I mean, that's been a consistent bugbear for us, hasn't it? It's, you know, looking at last season, everyone was thinking, oh, your defensive injury crisis is now moving up to midfield, but you've got Henderson back, you've got Milner back. I think Klopp came out today in his presser and he said Naby Keita and who's the other one who's coming back from injury? Two of them, he said he was coming back from injury. I think Curtis said he's still going to need a bit more time.
Joe Gomez was the one.
So I think, you know, knocking on wood here, but realistically, you're sort of looking at getting over that bump in the road, so to speak, and at the perfect time in the season when you've got 9 games in December to look forward to. I mean, you obviously got AC Milan and the AFL Cup game, which Klopp might sort of experiment a bit with his lineup there just to give a couple of rest, which will be absolutely valuable, as we've seen with Robertson. So I think yeah, you know, tremendous scoring record. You know, hopefully this sort of defensive record continues as we go on as well, and it'll put us in a really good position for the rest of the season.
Yeah. Definitely. But we've got a few comments here. We've got one from Paul saying, "Evening, lads. It's been a while." It has been a while, to be honest. We haven't done one for, must be since the United game, I think. So we've missed a few games, to be fair. And we've also got Yuki in from sunny California. Nice one for jumping in, Yuki. But you just touched on there, Farrell, about midfielders. And I think we've got to talk about Thiago after the Southampton game. And To score a lovely goal, obviously, albeit deflected, but I reckon it was still going in anyway. Apart from, there was a first like 15 minutes, maybe it was a bit of a mad one, because obviously we scored nice and early, but there was a moment where he gets robbed by Ward-Prowse, and I think you mentioned that Farrell, Alisson just majorly bails him out of that one, and then I think there was another moment in the second half, I think it was, where he tries to like dive on the floor and do a diving header to try and flick it away. And just kind of misses the ball, and you're just like, "Oh my god, just fucking, we bet they best not score off this." But apart from that, Kiefer, he was just, I'm run out of words to describe like how nice it is to watch him play football. It just looks, it's just so visually pleasing, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think for last season, like, that was probably one of the most frustrating things, because you know, his season probably was as smooth as Liverpool's was in the fact that he, you know, he felt like he couldn't put, you know, two or three matches together without getting a knockback, or, you know, him being paired with someone who he shouldn't be paired with. And you could just tell, you know, even though he's a fantastic midfielder, he's obviously his best position is in that number eight. And, you know, he did struggle when he was required to play in the six, you know, when Henderson and Fabinho were kind of playing centre-half. But now, obviously, we're seeing that midfield on Saturday is, you know, you can make cases for maybe one or two others, but that is on paper Liverpool's strongest midfield, isn't it? Henderson, Fabinho, Thiago. And I think it's, what, the third time they've played together? I think the derby last year, Palace early this year, and then Saturday. So, you know, it's such a new relationship kind of between the three, isn't it? That's, you know, we've not really had time to kind of see blossom, but for the early signs, and especially Thiago and Fabinho, that relationship seems to be flourishing really nicely, because it's a solid base. And I think, you know, Thiago is one of those who, he just needs that freedom, doesn't he? He kind of drifts in between pockets, and, you know, he sometimes comes a bit deeper to pick the ball up, and, you know, he's got an unbelievable passing range, and he just makes it look absolutely effortless. So yeah, to have that kind of, as Farrell said, having midfielders come back, and, you know, you can kind of play Thiago in kind of a true reflection, because, as I said last year, it just, you know, you had everyone saying, oh, who's this player that you were signing? You know what I mean? He came with such expectation, you know, rightly or wrongly, but, you know, I think we all knew that we weren't seeing the best version of Thiago. You know, I think obviously the back end of last season when Fabinho came into midfield, then we saw kind of, you know, Thiago, he was dominating games, wasn't he? But it really, for large parts, it just felt so unfair on him more than anything, because, you know, this is a man who's, you know, won two Champions Leagues, you know, he's been at the pinnacle of European club football for years. And it felt like he was having to prove himself to, like, Arsenal fans, you know what I mean? Or, like, you know, and it was just a bit like, come on. But yeah, he was fantastic on the Saturday, as I say. He just makes it look so effortless. And he did have those, you know, the two scares, and especially the one in the first half where Ward-Prowse came in and robbed him. But I think with Thiago, he's just, I don't know if it's a good thing, but he doesn't seem to panic, does he? So, like, you know, he's always got another touch. And, you know, at the minute, it's nice because of winning and everything, but he's kind of yearns that, right, doesn't he, to kind of, he never breaks sweat, does he? I don't think I've seen him do a sprint yet. He just, and that isn't a criticism. That's because he's got it all up in his brain, isn't he? He's got, you know, he's so far clear ahead of everyone, like, intelligent wise. So, yeah, I mean, it's just fantastic to see him kind of kick on now, especially after that goal the other night, you know, and against Porto, that kind of got the plaudits it deserved. It was probably the best goal I've ever seen. like, just in terms of technique and purity, and it was just, it reminded me of, you know, Stevie, the way he used to catch a ball. It was how pure it was and how sweet it was. And then, yeah, on Saturday again, he was fantastic. So hopefully, you know, because he was boss there at Goodison last year, wasn't he? That was his first start, I think it was, or one of his first starts. You know, he got that injury at the end, didn't he? But yeah, fingers crossed tomorrow night he can put in another good performance.
Yeah, and Farrell, I think he's one of those players, isn't he, that time seems to slow down when he's got the ball, in a way, because you can press him as hard as you want, but albeit obviously that Ward-Prowse one where he's I think the reverse angle where you can see his like panic face and you can see Alisson running out and he's like, oh fuck, what have I done? But largely he's just like Kiefer said, like he's just got that extra sense which for a midfielder is so vital to know what's around you, and the way he passes the ball, I think underrated how good he is in the air. In terms of interceptions, he's great at them as well. And I think that the main thing for him and for Liverpool as a club is just keeping him fit, isn't it? I think that's the main thing. Him and Oxlade-Chamberlain, who, I mean, obviously Oxlade-Chamberlain might consider himself a bit unlucky to have not started that Southampton game after doing so well and putting in, like, I think it was five straight starts, which is, I think, the first time he did that since, like, 2017-18, I think, which was nice to see. But Thiago, have you got any more words to describe Thiago Alcantara that we haven't touched on yet?
No, I think Kiefer has hit the nail on the head there with this. The, I suppose it's Van Dijk-esque sort of calmness. You know, you do sort of look at him and times you think, oh, shouldn't you, I don't know, not be a bit more bothered, a bit more stressed? I mean, we know he's bothered. Obviously, he's committed to the cause. There's no question about that. Again, you know, as Kiefer pointed out, with sort of the passing range, I don't think we genuinely realise how fortunate we are, on top of the team we have, to have a player of his quality within that side. Because you look at sort of what we won with our midfield of, and absolutely no disrespect to it, it's a quality midfield, but of Fabinho, Henderson and Wijnaldum. And you've gone since and added Thiago Alcantara, we're talking about a Champions League winner. We're talking about a man that, you know, Pep Guardiola was desperate to get to Bayern Munich. He's not a shoddy player. we can all tell everyone that much. But it's one of those things. I think again, Keith touched on it sort of earlier. But we didn't really get the chance to obviously see the best in injuries played in a massive part. And obviously when Fabinho was sort of drafted into that sort of back line to cover in centre defence, Thiago was obviously constrained a bit more. You know, we couldn't exactly see, you know, the reasons why we brought him to the club. You know, not that he did badly, but there was a whole thing where, you know, everyone was sort of complaining of Thiago can't put in a tackle. It was like, well, yeah, but he wasn't necessarily brought in to be a defensive midfielder. We have Fabinho for that. We have arguably the world's best defensive midfielder for that very reason. So, you know, it's we're finally getting to see. I mean, it's that bizarre stat, isn't it, as you pointed to already, of how little we've seen that combined midfield of Henderson, Fabinho and Thiago. Now we're finally seeing that. We're reaping the rewards of that, and hopefully for the long run, fingers crossed, yeah, this festive run of fixtures doesn't create another issue in that sort of middle of the park.
Yeah, I'm even just touching on that a little bit. Like, it is mad. Like, you think when Thiago was signed, that was, I think, on paper, that was everyone's like, right, this is going to be a midfield going forward. And if you put that midfield three together, that is where we're going to dominate. And the fact that we've only seen it like a handful of times is a shame. And like we said, like, if Thiago stays fit and Fabinho and Hendo stay fit, then that is, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to get into that, to that three, I think.
I think as well, like, the now it just feels like we have different options as well. Like, obviously with Chamberlain kind of having a bit of a renaissance, as it's like for different games, kind of, it's not like we're just playing that same midfield. It's like, you know, Southampton at home, maybe it's like, well, you are going to see more of the ball. You do need that kind of more decisive kind of final third ball or whatever. You know, you can throw Thiago in, but then, you know, somewhere maybe where it's going to be, I don't know, maybe tomorrow night at Goodison Park, where, you know, it is maybe going to be Rafa and two banks of five or two banks of four or whatever. Maybe you think, right, well, that's why you need someone like Chamberlain who's going to drag players out, kind of thing. So it's just nice to have that, because it feels like probably since Chamberlain's first season, we probably haven't had that, because it has been Henderson, Wijnaldum, Fabinho. And don't get me wrong, that midfield is, you know, I'm a massive Wijnaldum fan, and obviously the other two lads as well. But it kind of felt like it was the same, and it worked, but it was kind of almost like a transformer midfield, wasn't it? It could adapt to anything. But now you've actually got, you know, those three were racking up 150 games between them a season, weren't they? Which, you know, is never going to kind of bode well. But now you've got, you know, even, you know, throw Harvey Elliott into that, you know, throw Curtis Jones into that, throw Naby Keita into that. You've got six, seven, eight, nine lads, you know, who can all kind of do different things and bring different things. And feels like so long since we've kind of had that squad depth. You know, you only have to look at Manchester City, and we've all kind of been not jealous, but like, you kind of look at their depth at times, and, you know, hence why they're able to win, you know, domestic trebles, because they've just got like, yeah, so much depth. And it feels like we haven't had that. So just to have it now, and, you know, actually be talking ahead of tomorrow night, actually, who he's going to play, is Chamberlain, you know, does he deserve a start? Well, it's all positive, isn't it, really?
I mean, you can understand, can't you? I mean, this is what Klopp was talking about at the start of the season, when he was questioned, why haven't you replaced one? Obviously, finances played a part there with the impact of COVID. But, you know, he sort of turned around and was, well, who am I going to get? Who am I going to get that's going to fill that sort of gap currently in world football that I can get for a reasonable price? You've got, as you know, Kiefer's point, you had Naby Keita, you've got Curtis Jones, you've got Harvey Elliott coming up. When the midfielders are all there and they're fit, and obviously there are questions constantly about if they're fit, which, you know, I mean, I was one of those calling for us to replace Wijnaldum. You know, I thought he was absolutely critical. You know, as much as for his durability, his natural ability, but it's when you do look at those options available, and it goes back to also, I'm going to go back to Robertson, because, you know, yes, the break did him the world of good, but having that competition there with Costas makes him a better player, and it'll be the same for those three that do get picked in the central midfield week in, week out. Having the likes of Oxlade-Chamberlain, who, you know, has looked better and better as the weeks go by with this sort of run of games, having those men there in midfield sort of knocking on the door is going to push them. And we will see that, hopefully, if those lot can stay fit.
I think that midfield kind of crisis just before the international break, I think it, in a weird way, obviously, you know, we kind of dropped points where we shouldn't have, but I think it has and this is going to, again, it's going to sound a bit odd, but you kind of take the West Ham result out of it, I think it kind of did us the world of good, because we had to give Chamberlain those four or five games. And I think if you don't give Chamberlain those four or five starts...
Has Kiefer died?
He might make a comeback.
He's back. Sorry. So if you drop him into Milan on Tuesday, I think he struggles. You know what I mean? Like, if he hasn't played those kind of run of four or five games. But, you know, now there's, like I said, a chat of him talking, starting tomorrow night, which is obviously due to kind of getting through those kind of
The perks are going live, ladies and gentlemen.
Usually my internet buggers up.
we'll keep talking.
It's the same with
Oh, you're back, Kiefer.
He's now giving us little Eminem rendition. Now he's back.
We're back. I don't know where I got to on that, but I was just waxing lyrical about Oxlade Chamberlain.
It's because it was slopping and it's going. It was like, is he doing a fucking rap god verse there or no? No. But no, I'll talk for a bit just while your internet maybe
starts itself out. Finds its form.
But yeah, Farrell, you mentioned earlier about Klopp's press conference today, and that's kind of why we did the pod today, just because so we could obviously digest that news, and obviously the news about Joe Gomez and the news about Naby Keita being back in training next week is really, really good news. And also the news about Bobby, which is, I think it's going to be a couple of weeks till he's back in kit, and obviously, like we just touched on, another great player, Curtis Jones, is still sidelined with the eye injury, which still is a massive shame for him, I think. And I think at this time as well, where he could have been getting a few more minutes, it is a bit of a shame to see him sidelined with such a weird injury. But, and I would have loved to have seen another Curtis Jones belter, but at Goodison rather than Anfield this time. Obviously, got that amazing goal in the FA Cup, which I would have fucking loved to have seen replicated. But yeah, let's get stuck into the Everton game a little bit then. Obviously, so looking at the stats before, and we haven't won at their place since 2016, which is, it feels a bit mad, doesn't it? Because obviously the 90 plus 4 Mane goal, which we all love, and I just love watching, I could watch it on a loop endlessly, just like the flair thrown on the pitch and Everton fans just like fucking fuming and whatever else. But it's a mad one because we always batter them at Anfield, but I think we've drawn four in a row, which at Goodison, which I mean, it's a bit mad considering how often we do beat them at Anfield. But this time, I feel like it's. I don't want to get overconfident because I don't want to go into it going, right, we're going to absolutely batter them. Because I said this earlier, like to someone at work, like we could be like champions of Europe and they could be in League Two, and I'd still be worried about going to Goodison Park. It's just that thing that's just inherent in me veins that I'm just going to always be worried about going to that place. But obviously, if you look at like what they've been up to this season, like they're not great, are they? Obviously, they've had a lot of injuries. Calvert-Lewin and Decore, Gray was out, and now he's back. Again, came on, I think, the last 20 minutes against Brentford. But is this the time where we're going to absolutely batter them? Farrell, what do you reckon?
I've been sort of out of the business of predictions of late. I was severely cautious when we were heading towards facing sort of Southampton. I thought that'd be closer to a 2-1 than the 4-0 battering we administered. It's as you say, I mean, the record speaks for itself, and I'm sure Rafa will be having a chat with the lads just to say, look, you know, their record here isn't fantastic. Let's see if we can prolong that. You know, that's his team talk, mostly more or less done for him. I'm more confident that we can, again, I say hesitantly, grab a win there. I think it's safe to say it's not going to be a dominant, at least not as far as the scoreline suggests, display. But I could see us. So I just think the form is dire compared to ours. We are on, you know, that upward trajectory from those sort of first three games back from the international break. Form, it's a cliche, does go out the window to a certain extent when we go over to Goodison, but I think I'm just feeling a bit more hopeful. You know, as I say, we're getting those midfielders back. You know, we're kind of more or less solid as a unit. There aren't sort of major sort of concerns there. So the signs are all positive. It just depends what the football gods have in store for us.
Yeah, Kiva, what are you thinking? If your internet's back, it looks like you're all right now.
Put my 4G on. Don't worry. I think Farrell's spot on. I mean, it's one of those you do worry. You know, regardless of how good our form is, it's their cup final, isn't it? To be blunt and put it that way. And I think obviously, again, you know, we know how good Rafa can be defensively with his two banks of four and how kind of rigid his system can be, albeit it doesn't like he's got the kind of right players to kind of execute it at the minute. But I mean, stranger things have happened, but I do think we are due a winner. As you said, it's 2017 or 2016, whenever the last time we won there with that late Mane goal. But I think Klopp was quite he does it quite a lot with the derby. I feel like he said today, he doesn't play it up at all, does he? Or it might have been after his Southampton press conference, but he basically said, like, you know, I'm not gonna make it into a storm. And I think that's good, because I think at the minute, kind of when you are going for a league title, you want every 3 points is 3 points, isn't it? And without sounding like a PR machine, like, it is the right kind of mentality to install, isn't it? You know, regardless of whether it's Everton, United and whoever. And you think you saw that with the United victory. I think there's quotes that came out saying at half time that, you know, they thought it could be better and the level, you know, the level could go up. United were there for the taking. So it's, you know, I don't think they're going to go into this thinking, right, you know, these are 14th, 15th, wherever they are, and we're, you know, third or second. I think that's the kind of the kind of thing that does reassure me, because I think the last thing you can do is go into this derby or a game with this kind of magnitude, where we all know form goes out the window, and kind of think, you know, oh, we're gonna breeze these today. Because, as I say, you know, Goodison's one of those grounds where, you know, the crowd get on your back, and it will remain to be seen if it's on the Everton players' backs or on the Liverpool players' backs. You know, depending on what minute the goals come in. But you know, it is a hostile ground, isn't it? Like in the sense of it's, you know, it's compact, isn't it? It's tight to the players. And I think you'd ask any Liverpool player, they probably wouldn't like playing there. You know, this squad collectively hasn't got a great record there. So, you know, fingers crossed we can put that right, because it always, as you say, we battle them at Anfield every year, but it's just, there's just something about Goodison, and I'm not sure what it is. So, yeah, fingers crossed for tomorrow. But I'd probably go 2-0 if I had to give a score for it.
I mean, yeah. It's interesting, wasn't it, for Klopp's presser? Because I think he was almost sort of trying to take the sting out of it by sort of going, you know, look, I think he made a comment to one of the reporters being like, I'm not going to expand on those comments post-Southampton because you lot don't write this properly. And I think he was sort of generally sort of getting it, sort of treating. I mean, Klopp, we know Klopp's like every game's when it comes sort of thing. That's always been the way. And, you know, he was always sort of trying to sort of, so it's almost reduced the magnitude of the game and go, look, this is just another game. And, you know, I don't know whether that speaks more of the fact of how much he perceives the magnitude of that game to be, that, you know, he is sort of actively trying to sort of take the sting out of it. But I mean, obviously this is how we're going to want to approach this. This is how, if we are going to walk away with Goodison with all 3 points, it's going to be almost paradoxically treating it not like a Merseyside derby and just another one of the many games we will have to play this season to...
go on, Farrell, finish it.
Oh, yeah, no, that's pretty much it. I was just saying, you know, we just got another one. Hopefully we've just got a win just to keep the pressure on with the title race.
I was going to say as well, I think, you know, if there's one thing to take maybe from kind of learning those lessons, I think it's the same story that's been with Old Trafford, isn't it, for the past, you know, 4 or 5 years. They have been woeful, and we go to Old Trafford every year and we kind of play the badge and the team and the name as opposed to, you know, what 11 is on the pitch. And, you know, we've kind of been dragged down to their level at times. You know, we've been caught in kind of scrappy games, you know, at Old Trafford, and, you know, to whether we caught them on a bad day. But that day at Old Trafford, you know, last month, we were unbelievable. And yeah, okay, they were in a really bad run of form, but that was probably their best team they've had over the 5 years, isn't it, that we've kind of gone to Old Trafford under Klopp. So I think if you can kind of treat it the same, if you know what I mean, kind of, if you just, again, play, you know, 14th place side away from home, you know, pretend it's a, I was going to say Brentford, but don't pretend it's Brentford because that was horrible to watch.
On a 3-3, fuck that.
But you know what I mean? Kind of, if you kind of play what the face value of the side is, you know, and play them what they are on paper as opposed to kind of what it means to kind of the wider society, I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better, to be honest. That's what I was going to say. Like after you were speaking, Farrell, like about the Old Trafford thing, and I think that's quite a big analogy, really, that we've gone there, and obviously we beat them last year, which was without fans, which kind of a bit of a hollow victory, and that's why I think Everton's win at Anfield is kind of largely the same, because it's like, was it the same as a full Anfield? Would you have done the same thing? I don't think you would have, even if we had fucking Caroline and Carroll at centre half in that game with a full crowd, we probably still would have drew. Do you know what I mean? We still would have got a result there. But I think that's kind of that game at Old Trafford last month, like Kiefer said, like that was kind of like the acid test to, are we back in the funk? And that proved that we were. And I think this is another game that's like, we're going to another hostile environment like Old Trafford is. And I just think, I'm hoping that we just hit a nice early goal like we did against Southampton and just absolutely fucking bath them, to be honest, because it's going to be, I just want to see another load of videos on Twitter where their fans are just going absolutely ballistic. And that was just, after last game.
Fantastic, wasn't it?
I was just like, inject that straight into my veins. Like,
it's just
so
clueless. I think Rafa's quite rigid in his approaches, isn't he? He kind of has a set way of playing, and you know, it doesn't seem to have changed over the past 10 years or so. And you know, I think when he has, that's why I think we always do quite well in Europe under Rafa. You know, that kind of that set style of play with his two banks does work, and it's almost a low block at times, isn't it? You know, but I think, like you say, when you're missing Calvert-Lewin, and I think to be fair, the two wide lads, they've been good for them, haven't they? Gray and Towns, and you know, they've probably been the two better players for them this season. But I think, you know, when you're missing someone who's kind of focal as Calvert-Lewin, I think you're always going to struggle, because you know, the essence of Gray and Townsend is get balls in the box, and you know, apart from that, they don't really, you know, Rondon, like what is going on there? You know, it's what else do they have? So, and I don't think Calvert-Lewin's back tomorrow, is he? I think he's still, yeah. So he's exactly, he's going to be probably Richarlison down the middle or something. And I mean, you know, he'll probably entertain himself for 90 minutes rather than look to kind of go up against Van Dijk or whoever's alongside him. So, yeah.
Yeah.
You look at those 11s as well, don't you? You look at those 11s and you just think, you know, on paper, we should absolutely batter these. You know, it's, but I mean, such is the nature of the derby. It doesn't, at least not Goodison, doesn't always sort of end that way. But you know, yeah, I think you've got to just think on the form we're in, the form they're in. It's the foundations are there potentially for a big victory. Not feeling as confident as a sort of a Southampton or Arsenal-esque victory, but you know, I don't think it's, it'd be outside the realm reality to suggest that we're perfectly more than capable of getting the 3 points necessary at Goodison.
I think composure for it is massive, though, isn't it, as well? Like, you know, it's the first derby with a full Goodison, isn't it, for 2 years or however long it's been. I think it's 3 years now, actually, isn't it? But
God, blimey.
Yeah, so, like, I think you kind of just got to control the crowd, as kind of cliche as it is. And I think, you know, if you can kind of keep the ball for the first 10, 15 minutes and kind of settle them down, I think that's probably your first task, isn't it? And, you know, kind of then you probably could try and build your attacks and whatever. But I think that's probably their biggest asset tomorrow, in a sense, that the hostility of the crowd, because as we said, they've got nothing on real, you know, real quality on the pitch. So, you know, if you can kind of the midfield as well, you know, you think it'll be Thiago, Henderson, Fabinho, you know, that composure, that experience, and you're hoping they'll just kind of take it in their stride. But, you know, like I say, will be a tough game. But like, as Farrell says, if you just look at the teams, you know, it should be no more difficult than at Southampton. But I don't think that'll be the reality. I think it'll be a lot tighter.
Yeah, and like we touched on before, like how Klopp like trying to play it down, like, but he'll be under no illusions that, well, it's going to be a fight for every ball. I think like Dave's put in the comments here, like, let's hope Everton plan on playing football tomorrow, which is kind of what Klopp said, wasn't it, after the Southampton game? He said like something like, we're going to go there with a plan. Let's just hope that they actually plan on playing football or a word to that effect, which was. I think, like you said, Keith, that's kind of obviously the hostile environment and kind of trying to snap people. That's the only way that they're going to kind of obviously do that, get stuck in. Like a derby's always like that. Obviously, yellow cards don't even get given that often unless it's a really bad tackle in derbies. That's kind of more leeway, isn't it, in derby games. But I feel like that's the only way that they're going to get any joy. They're going to have to throw a few tackles in G the crowd up and then kind of feed off each other. And I think that's, I mean, I'm clutching the straws there for them. And I don't even feel sorry for them at all. I just hope we just absolutely fucking love
I think
them.
As well, it's going to be builders, you know, I've already seen a few things on social media, and it's the whole, you know, people already talking about Van Dijk and his injury last year. And, you know, even the tackle that Richarlison put on Thiago towards the end of the game, you know, it's going to be, I think, you know, Klopp after that game, he came out and he was, you know, pretty disgusted at their attempt of kind of playing football and some of the challenges. He was rightly furious, wasn't he? So I think that's probably part of it, because as I say, tomorrow it'll be builders, you know, Van Dijk versus Pickford, you know, like it's yeah. Eddie, some kind of Eddie Hearn promotion kind of thing. But yeah, I think he's right to take this thing out of it. I mean, it's probably not what we want to hear, but I think as Farrell said, it's maybe kind of a counterproduct, isn't it, to kind of think, right, well, I know how big it's going to be. Let me just, you know, ease it a bit, and then hopefully it's a bit more manageable tomorrow night. But, yeah, we'll remain to be seen, won't it?
Yeah, but let's get stuck into, before we go, let's get into starting 11 predictions. I think we're all, well, for me, anyway, I'll let you know what I think. I think in terms of from the Southampton game, I think Matip in for Konate, and I think that's it. So that'll be Alisson, Trent, Van Dijk, Matip, Robbo, Hendo, Fabinho, Thiago, Salah, Jota, Mane.
I would say the exact same, to be fair. Though, I mean, it's hard to tell the Chamberlain one, isn't it? Because I think, obviously, to ask any player to play four or five in a row, whatever he would have played, and obviously, as you touched on, it's his kind of longest kind of spell in the starting 11, wasn't it, since 17-18? So you can either look at that and think, right, well, you know, was he resting kind of Chamberlain for Wednesday? You know, is he kind of going to give it him on merit? But I would flip it the other way and say, you know, he's obviously putting minutes in Henderson's legs for Wednesday. But I mean, as I touched on earlier, I wouldn't, obviously, that midfield of Henderson, Fabinho, Thiago is what I want to see. I think we all want to see it. You know, we've got them fit and firing, so why would we not play it? But I would be more than comfortable with Oxlade-Chamberlain being in there, you know, if it needs be, but I'd probably be more happy with him coming off the bench if it was we needed him on 60 or something, or 65, and you do need a goal or you need a second goal. I think that's, he's probably going to be more effective. The way I always judge it is, I think, you know, if you're there at a game and you need a goal, who do you want coming off the bench? You want Henderson or do you want Oxlade-Chamberlain? You know what I mean? And which one would generate less groans? Or it would be Oxlade-Chamberlain, wouldn't it? So I don't think that's Klopp's logic, but that would be my logic. So I'd go the same as you. I'd Matip would be the only change for me, and that isn't because I don't trust Konate. I mean, you know, we saw at Old Trafford last month; he's more than capable of, you know, kind of holding his own. But I just think it's that kind of experience, and it is going to be, as we've kind of just touched on just previously, it is going to be a spiky game, isn't it? It's going to be a spiky affair. It's going to be, you know, the atmosphere, you know, will be. It will be one of those where you just need to take an extra touch to settle it down. You don't want to be doing anything to kind of give their crowd any kind of incentive. So I think that's probably why he goes for Matip. But, you know, as I say, if either of them, you know, if Konate keeps his place, or, you know, if Oxlade-Chamberlain comes in, you know, I'd be still more than happy.
Yeah, and I think even with on the Konate, I think it's not even a slight on him, is it? Like, obviously, like you said, Kiefer, we went to Old Trafford and he played really well, like Trent getting forward and him being on that right-hand side with that pace to kind of keep their wingers in check. But I think at Goodison, it feels like it's half the size, to be honest, the pitch in comparison to Old Trafford. So what are you thinking, Farrell, in terms of...
I'm going to be a bit difficult, lads, and I'm going to say he's going to keep Konate in the side. I remember just going back to the United game that we're also fond of for obvious reasons. You know, I don't think anyone was expecting him to lob in sort of Konate into a high pressure sort of scenario like that can be, and it didn't turn out to be in the end. But, you know, he added that sort of element of physicality. Not that Matip can't provide that, but I just think it's that sort of game. I can see Klopp going, actually, I think we could use a bit of extra brawn in this. You know, if Konate pulls out the kind of performance people perhaps weren't expecting him to pull out against United at Old Trafford, you know, it could be a very, very interesting scoreline for us. So I do reckon it, you know, I think it's a pretty good chance he'll hold on to Konate alongside Van Dijk. Otherwise, I don't think there'd be that many changes. I think there was some talk on Twitter of resting Robbo again, but I think no, I think he pretty much goes with the same back line.
Yeah, I think the Robbo one, you want Robbo to be a dirty bastard. You want Robbo just to be in there.
Oh, God, yeah.
Just to warm people up, get stuck in, elbows in the back, the stuff that's what derbies are made of. And I mean, that's a good thing, like you said there, Fyle. Like, Canate and Matip, we won't be sad either way, whoever starts in that one. And that's, like, a really big thing, considering, like, Canate's made, what, 5 appearances so far, and obviously had a few shaky moments, but his pace and like you said, his brawn, his energy and his strength might be really handy tomorrow in a game. And it'd be a really big test. And if he passed it, then you'd be like, fucking hell, he's keeping his place for the long haul if he did so. But I think you've already had your score predictions, Kiefer. Did you say 2-0, did you?
2-0, yeah.
2-0. Any particular goal scorers you're thinking? Mo Salah to get another one?
Alisson Brace. No. I was being serious. I fancy Jota, you know. I'll go Jota and Salah.
Nice. What are you thinking, Farrell?
I think we'll grab two as well. Jota and Salah. I'm in two minds about this. I did the same thing against Southampton and battered them. I'm going to go for a 2-1 again. Against Everton, just purely for the occasion's sake. But yeah, I think Jota and Salah are pretty much fair bets, aren't they, at this point?
Yeah. Well, I'm going for 4-0 because three consecutive 4-0s, fuck it.
Why not?
I'm hoping it's just like we've touched on the Old Trafford thing. Like, I'm just hoping it's going to be like that perfect storm where we've already showed that we can do it in a hostile environment against one of our rivals, and it's like, well, what's coming to Goodison then in comparison to that, especially how bad our Old Trafford record's been. So yeah, fuck it, go for 4-0. Yuki in the comments is going for 2-0.
It's massive, isn't it? Obviously it's big enough, you know, regardless of league position, but it kind of really does set the tone for the next month, you know, the next kind of up and probably till that Chelsea game where it seems there's a game every, you know, 3 days. And, you know, again, if you kind of bite-sized chunk it, you know, if you kind of get to Sunday and you've beaten Everton and you've beaten Wolves, which, again, two sides that, you know, you probably fancy yourselves again, but two tricky away trips, I'd class them in that kind of cluster of places you probably wouldn't want to go if you needed to win, do you know what I mean, kind of thing. I mean, we've got a perfect record at Wolves since they've come up, but they're never a nice side to play, are they? And, you know, same with Everton, really, so... I think if we do manage to kind of overcome whatever kind of is thrown at us tomorrow, I think then it's like you're looking at kind of up until Chelsea and you're thinking, right, it's on. Especially after that United Chelsea result on Sunday afternoon, it is. I think that kind of gave everyone a bit of a kick, didn't it? Because there's a few people who, some people, you know, there's kind of the, as we were saying before, the kind of moaners who seem to think a season is 20 games or so, and we were what, 4 or 5 points off them. Okay, it's not ideal, but now it's like, right, win tomorrow, and I think what we go top, you know, or depending on what happens at City, Villa. So, yeah, it's certainly a lot riding on, isn't there? And it's like, as I say, tease up the next month, it tease up the festive period, doesn't it?
It's interesting how perceptions change, isn't it? As actually, I think you pointed to rightly there, Kiefer, you know, that loss to West Ham and then you're 4 points, only 4 points behind Chelsea before you've even hit December, and people are going, well, that's it, the title's been decided, there we go, champions of Europe, champions of England. You know, it's ridiculous, you know, we're not even sort of we're still not halfway through the season, and you know, we won those three games, they dropped points to United, a team we utterly embarrassed at Old Trafford, they will drop points. Categorically, Chelsea will drop more points. You could have a situation where we do beat Everton, we beat Wolves, and they've drawn or lost a game, and suddenly we find ourselves top of the table, depending on what happens with City's games. So they're not going to run away with it. It's going to be a tight one this year, I reckon. I'm fairly confident in that. So it's just about a matter of just winning these games that can turn out to be banana skins for us.
Yeah, and just looking at the table, like briefly, like there's only 2 points like separating the top three. So it's funny, like when you draw, like, or if you lose a game to West Ham, and you're like you said, 4 points behind, and people are like, well, the season's over. You're like, Have you ever watched a game of footy or a season of footy in your fucking life? Because you've got absolutely no idea.
I think but I think the last like 2, 3, 4 years maybe have turned us into really bad losers. And I think that City as well, you know, as I said before, like 95, 96, 97, 98, 99 points, just as great as it is, like you, people forget, and I know it was a dodgy season, but Leicester won the league on 81, 82, 8 points, you know what I mean? Like, there's this year someone probably wins a league between 86 and 90, I think, you know, just because of who takes points off each other, you know, it's because of how good we were 18, 19, 19, 20, we've kind of think anything less than 97 points and you're going to come second. Well, it's not the reality, and especially when you've got two teams like that, and you know, three teams now kind of going in a three-way contest. And so I think it's as you said, it's perception, isn't it? And kind of people are so quick to kind of be like, I told you so, you know, or, you know, we needed another midfielder and or whatever. So, you know, if we don't win tomorrow, it's, again, it's certainly not over. You know, there's still, what, 25 games of or 24 games of football left to play in the league this season. That's a lot of points to play for.
Yeah, I think that's like you said, like people just wanting to have the "I told you so" moment, which is just hilarious. Like they've obviously got like a draft full on Twitter, just like told you we should have signed this player, blah blah blah. Just like it's just fucking, it's just boring, isn't it? But Chris is putting a comment saying 3-0 job done, Salah, Mane, Thiago. Oh, I'd love a fucking another Thiago goal. You know, I would absolutely.
Yeah. I really want a Van Dijk goal. I really want a Van Dijk.
Oh. I'll settle for both. It's rather remarkable, isn't it? I think we said sort of the amount of complaints about Thiago's sort of goal record, and he goes, scores that absolute beauty of a goal against Porto and follows it up with another, you know, the next one. I mean, Van Dijk would be absolutely phenomenal. But I think, you know, we have to just take it a step at a time, isn't it? You know, as Keith has pointed out, there's 25 league games remaining. We've got an incredible record in Europe. We've got more points, you know, ourselves than the rest of our sort of fellow group members have collectively. You know, context is really, really key here. You know, we're having a pretty decent season so far, you know, all things considered. I think it is that sort of element. I think I'm sure you lads have had this as well. You put anything out vaguely positive out on Twitter, and that there will be one little bastard who has to have their two cents on how wrong you are. But, you know, I think all things considered, this is far from a disastrous season, and we're getting players back in from injury. Hopefully, fingers crossed, Harvey Elliott in the new year back on the pitch. And then, you know, I think you look at that Liverpool team, then you think, oh, if you can all stay fit, you're in for a shout there. At the absolute least, you're in the conversation, which is where you want to be.
Yeah, I mean, like Harvey Elliott coming back. I mean, he's back running, doing ball work. So fucking hell, if he's back in January, that is just a huge boost. Because obviously, like I think you touched on it earlier, Kiefer, like about how good he's been coming into the team. So to have him back, I mean, it's not as sexy as signing a fucking 60 million pound player from whoever in Europe, but the fact that he's came into the team against like Burnley and Chelsea and done so well and surprised everyone by being started in those games is a huge testament to how good he is.
If we'd signed him, the perception around him would be completely different. If he hadn't played for Liverpool and you'd signed him for 30 million, you'd be like, by God, we've had an all right summer window. Do you know what I mean? You'd be like, Canate, yeah, and Harvey, like, you'd be like, you know, job done. It's the fact that he's, you know, we've obviously brought him from Fulham's academy, developed him. Klopp's given him that chance of that incredible spell in the Championship. You know, we do. It's remarkable how those little things, and suddenly, you know, you get the tirade of negativity online on Twitter. You know, we're in an okay place, aren't we? More or less.
And you think as well, especially, you know, I'm glad kind of you guys touched on it because I didn't want to be the one to say the words, but, you know, kind of the aura of a new signing if he comes back in January, and like, you know, especially if he does come back as kind of Mo and Sadio go, you know, people forget that his preferred position is off the right, isn't it? So, you know, he's kind of look how well he's adapted to a centre midfield role. And, you know, if you need him to, I think Salah and Mane only missed two games anyway, but, you know, if you've got Harvey Elliott coming back for that period, you know, I'm not saying he's obviously to the level of Mo Salah or Sadio Mane. That's absolutely not what I'm saying. But, you know, it's at the minute, there's, I think that's the one thing on the back of, you know, in the back of people's minds, isn't it? AFCON. You know, you'd be lying to yourself if you said you haven't thought about it. It hasn't quite given me sleepless nights yet. I mean, I won't rule it out. But, you know, that is kind of the game changer, isn't it? You know, especially in the form that Salah's in at the minute, and even Mane in this season. But, you know, if you've got someone like Harvey Elliott coming back, and, you know, you've got Jota, you've got Firmino, and then you've got, you know, Divock for the odd game or so, you know, you'll be fine. And then you're through that, and before you know it, you're on the home straight with 10 games left, 10 cup finals. So, yeah, and it's that, as Farrell says, it's far from disastrous what people have made out. You know, that international break after West Ham was just, I didn't even go on my phone on Twitter much, because it was just, you know, you would have, like, as I said, you would have thought that the league was won there and then, yeah, for Chelsea or for City. And but as I say, perspective is just so key, isn't it?
You don't want to curse it, but if you think, isn't it? It's Brentford and Crystal Palace. They reckon Salah and Mane will miss. Hopefully, not more than that. But if you think you've got sort of a forward line of, you know, as Kiefer pointed out, you know, Harvey can play there. He has played there. And he's done a rather good job of it. You've got that forward line of, you know, Jota, Harvey Elliott. You know, you've got. Let's not forget about Taki Minamino. You know, Klopp's been singing his praises in his presses whenever he gets the opportunity. I know we're not talking about, you know, a fellow who's going to go and get, you know, 30, 40 goals a season like Salah might, but, you know, it's someone there who has sort of enjoyed an upward trajectory since that pre-season when everyone sort of stood up and said, actually, you know, we've bought a decent player from Salzburg. We're coming up against Brent, and that's no disrespect to Brentford, no disrespect to Crystal Palace, but we're not coming up against Manchester City and Chelsea in those two fixtures. So you sort of think we should just be able to manage to get through those fixtures, not with ease, but, you know, I think we're more than capable with the options that we have left remaining.
Yeah, I mean, I hadn't even thought about putting Harvey Elliott on the right at right wing. You know, I hadn't even thought about it, but I think my concern was always before he'd started playing recently was the pace thing. But I think he's proven in the games that he's played in midfield, on the right of a three in midfield, that game intelligence and the know-how to pick up the right spaces and whatever else, and the agility and the eye for a pass. He's more than capable of standing in there for two games or however long it's necessary before we get the big fellas back.
And he had a good relationship with Trent. There was that kind of right hand side, the three of them, wasn't there? There's Elliot, Trent, and Salah. They kind of formed something, you know, quite nice in their kind of brief kind of games together. And as Farrell says, it is only, without turning it into an Africa Cup of Nations preview, it is only Brentford and Crystal Palace, isn't it? So again, you know, this for me, it's still Chelsea's massive, and then, you know, that's when you kind of go again. You know, you reset yourself and you think, right, you know, it's one game a week now in January, or one game every 4 days or something. So, you know, it's tomorrow, 1st of December, starts a big December, starts a big Christmas period. Get the Merry Christmas Everton songs out, you know, 3 points at Goodison Park. That will do me.
That would be the perfect beginning of December, wouldn't it? 9 fixtures, and to start it off with like a 4 or 5 nil win over Everton would just be absolutely fucking glorious. So let's hope for that. But I said to the lads before we started that it'd only be half an hour, and we're now getting to over nearly double that. So let's get the fuck out of here. So nice one to Kiefer, a nice one to Farrell for making his debut today, and of course nice one to everyone in the comments for watching. And if you're not watching live, then if you're watching later on, then nice one for watching as well. Please do subscribe and like the video as well, because that helps us out a lot. And yeah, we'll see us hopefully the end of the week when we're celebrating a boss win over the Ev, and we've battled them at Goodison. So yeah, up the Reds. Sports Social Podcast Network.